Thanks a lot. I really don't have anything to say, so see you later. Well, I don't know how your week was, but I really enjoyed mine. Mine was a lot of fun. Did a lot of research for this sermonette. Probably more research than I maybe have ever done. Wait, I better write down the time, because I have way more material than I could possibly give. Anyway, I watched the Olympics, and I watched as much Olympics as I could possibly squeeze into my schedule. And it was more enjoyable than I could possibly have anticipated. I remember the Miracle on Ice back in 1980, when this little ragtag group of American college kids beat the dominant world power, the Russians. And then 22 years later, to the day, the Americans again beat the Russians. I remember watching when an Australian speed skater by the name of Stephen Bradbury, who was the slowest racer in his group, and everybody in front of him falls down, and he goes on to win. That was just a semifinal heat. Then in the finals, the same thing happens again. Everybody falls down. He gets a gold medal. Or how about this year, the Belarusian team, which was, before the Olympics started, a 10-million-to-1 odds against them winning the gold medal. And they were playing the Sweden team, which was by far the most dominating and powerful hockey team in this year's Olympics. The Belarusian team not only beat them, but beat them with a 70-foot slap shot that went off of the goalie's face mask and into the net. People who have watched hockey all their lives said they'd never seen anything so amazing. And I sat there and watched this, and I thought, man, you know, God was really right when he said, the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. And I had watched these Olympics because for a couple of months, a scripture had just been right in my mind. And it's a scripture that's found in 1 Corinthians 9. And in 1 Corinthians 9, this is a section of scripture where Paul was talking about sacrifices he makes for the benefit of the church. It's a section of scripture where he says, I am made all things to all men that I might by some gain them. And so in verse 24, let's read what he says. He says, know you not that they which run the race run all, and one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain, and every man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. You know, Paul was a very educated man. He was brilliant. He was well educated, and the fact that the Olympics had been around, the book I read, since 8 BC, and I think the last time the Olympics were held in Olympia was something like 395 AD. He was well aware of the Olympics. These people were well aware of the Olympics. They were well aware of what these athletes were like, how they lived, and he was painting a word picture. And it was with this in mind that I watched the Olympics, because I thought, surely there'll be a few elements that come up that might illustrate in colorful ways biblical principles. Well, I was wrong, because there weren't a few. They were all over. And pretty soon I realized you couldn't speak and cover all of the illustrations that were demonstrated in these games in 2 hours and cover them all. Because it wasn't just one element of maybe how they trained and kept their eye focused on the goal. It was everything they did. It was their whole lifestyle that painted a brilliant and beautiful picture for us to learn from. See, because Paul in a very real sense is saying, you know what, as Christians, what would you do if only one of you were going to win? If eternal life was only offered to one of us, how would you run your race? So there are many things we can't cover in the time. You know, we won't cover a lot of things as far as the vision and how you take criticism and that they can't do it alone. None of these people did. One thing I will mention, because I see we do have the kids with us, that many of these Olympic athletes are kids, and they started training when they were definitely kids. And so the traits to really become successful, either in physical goals or spiritually to really grow and be strong, are available to you now. One thing I wanted to try and do is avoid some of the obvious things, such as you got to have a goal, and pick some of the things that have to do in maybe a more substantial way in the way they think. One of the things I've noticed is that all the Olympians that I saw and heard interviewed and read books on, they dealt with setbacks in a certain way. One of the ways that they dealt with any setback or failure they might have is they learned from them and they didn't dwell on that thing. They didn't dwell on it. And I'm going to read from a book that Michelle Kwan wrote. I think you're probably well aware of her. She, in the last decade, was the most decorated skater in America, and in many ways in the world. In her book, she states something that I thought was pretty interesting. She says, She's talking about the first time she went to see her new coach, Frank. And she got out on the ice and immediately fell down as she tried to do one of her tricks and just went splat on the ice. And she just sat there, very embarrassed, about ready to cry. "Get up, young lady," Frank insisted. "Keep going." The first thing I learned from Frank was that when you fall, you don't sit there and cry about it. You use it as an opportunity to learn something. I've been falling in front of Frank ever since, and each time I do discover something. He says, it's great to strive for perfection, but you can't let that ruin you. A little bit later on, she says, there's an old saying that goes, the perfect is the enemy of the good. Don't let perfection be your master. If you let it rule over you too strictly, it could ruin everything, even your chance to be good at what you do. So here was just one thing that she did. The other thing I remember, there was an American skier named Bodie Miller, and he did poorly many times on his first run down, and in skiing they let you have two runs. And every time the announcers and the interviewers would come and say, oh boy, you really had a bad run, what went wrong, and oh, are you worried about it? He says, I don't even think about that, but I've got one run in front of me, and I just focus on what I need to do on this run. And there's a way for me to go ahead and get this medal if I just focus on and do what I'm capable on this run. And every time they try to redirect it about, oh, what's wrong? Aren't you worried about this? Every one of the athletes would always bring it back to, I'm focusing on what I can do. Now, I thought that was interesting because God kind of tells us to do the same thing in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, you probably know the scripture I'm going to go to. But in Philippians 3 and verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself as have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling of Jesus Christ. So here we're clearly told that what we need to do as Christians is exactly the same thing. When we're dealt setbacks, we need to learn from them, don't dwell on them, and move on, press forward. A second thing that was common among all these athletes is that they get up and they keep going whenever a setback hits them. I can't possibly list all of the examples of this, but just a few might be Chris Whitty, who won a gold medal, even though she had found out just right before the games that she had mono. It wasn't used as an excuse. She couldn't train ahead of time. She just went out and did her best, and she did set a world record. Now, there was another Belarusian skier by the name of Dmitry. 12 days before the Olympics, he had a broken collarbone, so he went and had a titanium plate put into it. And they showed the big scar there, and it's still trying to heal up. So that was the only way I could compete. Any other type of surgery, and I wouldn't be able to compete. So he just had a titanium plate put there. Now, he was in the aerial jumping, which means you're going 40 miles an hour down the hill. You hit this giant ramp, throws you 50 feet up into the air, and one particular jump that they were doing would be 3 black flips while you do 5 rotations this way. And then you land after being up in the air for 5 seconds. So a lot of pain, but it didn't matter because the only thing that mattered was, I'm going to go to the Olympics, I'm going to compete, do the best I can. Of course, Michelle Kwan, I noticed that they really covered the figure skating a lot, and they showed practices and interviewed them. And what I noticed that even in practices, they were falling. And even during the practice, as soon as they fall, they immediately spring up and continue with their program. And so sure enough, during the finals, she fell, immediately got back up and continued her program, and she still wound up with a medal. They keep getting up and keep going. Jim Shea, the skeleton gold medal winner, which is where you lay on your belly and you slide down. about 80 miles an hour on basically a sled. There's no brakes or anything like that. Well, he was mentioning that he's broken every bone in his body doing this. Every time he breaks a bone, I guess he learns, and he gets up and he keeps going. You know, and the stories go on and on. There was a man there who had just recently had a liver transplant. There are things that happen, either mistakes they make or things of life that come their way. But each time, they keep getting up and keep going on. You know, I think about 1 Corinthians 10:13, where God says that no matter what things come against you, no matter what trials come, that God's not going to let anything come that's too great for you, that he always makes a way of escape. Think about Philippians 4:8, where God says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, I don't know if you know the Greek, but all means all, and that's all means. So when God says that we can do all things through Jesus Christ, whatever struggles we might be facing, when life throws us down or we make a horrible mistake, a big sin, it's not too big. We can get up and we can know, unlike these Olympic athletes, that we can be successful. Because God, who started a work in us, he's faithful to finish it. See, that's a definite advantage we have as spiritual Olympians that they don't have. They don't know for sure that they can win. In fact, only one of them is going to win. But with us, God's made it possible for all of us to win. We each have an individual race. And sometimes I think we've heard these scriptures before, and it's easy to think, oh, yeah, I know that. But sometimes the truth is just so simple and so powerful all by itself. I know that some out there are really struggling and having a hard time. You know, just like the psalm says that God leads you through green pastures, and he also leads you through the valley of death. We're not all on the same race course, and we are not all at the same spot in life. But each race course that we run was definitely designed for us. And if we rely on God's help, if we trust him to help us through those hard times, then we wind up winning. And, you know, even in the aerial things, when they're doing all their flips, their coaches are talking to them and telling them, go over here. I don't know what they tell them, but they guide them, because many times they can't even see the landing, and they don't know if they're drifting off, but by that feedback to that Olympian, he can start making course adjustments so that he can land in a proper way. So I hope that this doesn't seem like just, oh, glib generalities, but I think that what Paul was getting at when he said, you know, look at this, don't you know that they all run, look at how they run, that he wanted us to get that whole overall impact, that these people, they dedicate their lives, the skiing comes, you know, the goal of being in the Olympics comes first, and they put life in around it, you know. There are many things that they don't do that they could do, many times that they want to go out to the movies and they can't, you know. I was reading with Michelle Kwan. Her daily activities were 3 hours at the ice rink, 1 hour in the gym, as well as sharpening and cleaning her skate blades. And then, in addition to that, then she fit in, well, now how am I going to get my schoolwork done? So there were things that were lawful for her to do, to go out, hang out with her friends, you know, get a video, go play some arcades. But they weren't expedient for her, not to accomplish her goal. So as we live through life, but she didn't view it as, oh, man, I can't do this. This is a real downer. It wasn't a negative thing. It was easy for her to give this up because of what she wanted, and she knew how precious this was. And I think that's what Paul was getting at when he said, you know, I count all these things in the physical life as dumb. They're completely worthless when it's compared to the glory and the majesty of what I can accomplish. So I think it's interesting that as we go along and as we look at this, if we thought about the fact that if only one of us could win, I ask myself these questions, you know? Would I watch the same amount of TV? Would I talk to my wife and kids and other people in the church the same way? Would I be more helpful or less helpful? You know, just exactly what would I do? And the neat thing is that we all can win. And so I think I'd just like to close with a scripture in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, where it says, therefore, now the therefore is referring, and seeing that we are encompassed about so great a witness, is referring to the whole chapter that just preceded it. And in chapters 11, you know that that's the faith chapter. Interesting thing about the people that God mentions there, some of them we know by name. we know the Davids and the Abrahams and the Rahabs. And when you look at each of those lives, and some of them are nameless. It says, well, they were just some widows whose kids were brought back to life. So some were big names, some were little names. Some of them had big problems. You know, you're looking at harlots, murderers, adulterers, liars. But you're also looking at people who had miraculous things happen in their lives. They were saved from the lions, the mouth of the lions, that saved from fire. And there were also some that were sawn asunder. There were some that were tortured and beat up, thrown in prison. And so God's covered all the bases, because I don't know what your path is. I don't know what mine's going to be. But each of those all lead to being successful Christians, to having that prize of eternal life, to pleasing our Father. So with that as the background, so whatever course you're on, it's covered. And we don't have to be upset or worried about if your life is going great and all these blessings are coming and you're super talented. I can be happy for you and encourage you on your race. Because if you win, that doesn't stop me from winning either. So we don't have to be worried about comparing ourselves among ourselves. But in chapter 12, it just says, therefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I would just add, let us run that we might win.